what the central bank should be doing in Europe and in the United States, and I'm fighting for this right now here in the United States with the Federal Reserve Board and Congress. They should be putting direct money into projects that will rebuild roads and bridges and schools and homes and ports that would directly and specifically create jobs, that would create demand. I agree with what Professor said about we have to create demand. The problem is not the inadequate supply of money. The problem is that the money is not being used to create demand. It's only ending up to fuel speculation and enhance wealth. So we need to find ways. The governments should do more, and the central banks should do more directly, not quantitative easing that they're doing now, but directly investing in projects that build things, create jobs, employ workers, and put money in the hands of average men and women who then use that money to invigorate the economy. It's called demand-side economics. And I think our other panelists and I are in large agreement about that.
Well, some of the core problems. Well, let's talk about what is going wrong with the EU as a whole, Jack Rasmus. And perhaps you can tell us, one economist saying we may have a common currency for these countries, but each of these countries have a different tax system, and the fiscal policy was never harmonized. Is that why the euro is not working?
Well, the eurozone has its problems because it's not a fiscal union. There's no way to really stimulate the fiscal side, what the other panelists has indicated. Unlike in the U.S., we could do it because all the states, we have a unified fiscal policy at the federal level. There's no fiscal union in Europe. There's a monetary union in the eurozone. And the problem is when they created that monetary union, it was really a boon for countries like Germany and Holland and so forth, because now they had a common currency. And what they did, of course, was loan a lot of money to the periphery parts of the eurozone. They borrowed, and they had a great boom going on in the periphery, southern periphery and elsewhere in the periphery of the eurozone, and they accumulated big debt. And then the crash came in 2008-09, and they couldn't pay that debt. And what you've seen since then is, like in Greece and elsewhere, the Northern European bankers are just, with the help of the IMF and the European Commission and the ECB, they're just rolling over that debt each time, refinancing it as getting larger and larger. There's no way like a country like Greece can ever pay that $270 billion in debt it owes. But the northern bankers don't want to create a precedent by expunging some of that debt. So you're in this face-off crisis of perpetual depression in Greece, and similarly in other parts of the periphery, but not as severe, that never gets resolved because you don't have a fiscal policy that could resolve it. I mean, in the U.S., if we had a problem in the states of Texas or North Dakota or something, the federal government could direct spending into those areas, infrastructure or something to help boost it. But you don't have that solution in the eurozone. So the problem is you got a monetary union system in which the northern segments of the eurozone and the bankers there can exploit the periphery. But when problems occur, you don't have a fiscal union that can bail them out.
Very well. Let's take a quick time. I'll listen to some of your comments and get back to the debate.
Take back your sovereignty by nationalizing the banks and all natural resources. Don't let the EU bureaucrats choose for you. They are liars, they are corrupt, they don't represent us but the big banks. Too much immigrants, that's the problem. It's not even immigrants that are the problem. It's how America or the world can spend so much on war and military equipment. Start spending on the poor and not throwing at the military. EU is handcuffed to the USA and the UK. Its business dealings are diminishing and living expenses soaring because of sanctions on Russia.
All right, some of the viewer comments there. Well, Brent Badowski, I have to talk about this because, we need to talk about it. It's part of the eurozone. It's what's being discussed these days, the hot topic, and that is Greece. What is going on with Greece? I mean, it seems more apparent as days go by that a Grexit is becoming a real possibility.
Oh, it's very tragic. And again, what's being done is very wrong. Greece should not be forced to impose austerity because of politicians or bankers from outside of Greece. I think the International Monetary Fund should be much less restrictive. I think Chancellor Merkel and the Germans, who I agree with on some things, I strongly disagree with them in their handling of Greece and Southern Europe. Now is not the time to have austerity. It's the time to have expansion. It's a time to create jobs, not to cut back on what government can do. Yes, there is corruption, and yes, there needs to be reform. But when you have in Greece a level of austerity and pain and suffering, and then outside private bankers, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Central Bank and the German government, when they impose even more austerity when things are so bad to begin with, that is both morally wrong and, again, it's bad economics. I mean, I have a degree from the London School of Economics, and people can interpret that correctly as to where I come down on a lot of these things. We need to make life better for people and not worry about making life better for bankers.
Okay, the deal with liquidity, with money, Jack Rasmus, you keep hearing about news that becomes very alarming. And one of the ones that I ran across are these basically coming on the heels of the banks and the stress test that happened in Europe. Regulators are now starting to scrutinize what's called the shadow banking industry, if you want to call it. And that's becoming a worry. And of course, the figures there are quite alarming. But what's more alarming is the fact that there's money that's being lent out without the scrutiny, without an industry actually that's being regulated, if I'm correct in saying that, and without scrutinizing the entities that's being lent to, whether from individuals or from institutions. I mean, isn't that a perfect recipe for what happened back in 28? Same thing, another crisis perhaps looming?
Well, you know, the shadow banking system is a big problem. It's virtually unregulated. It deals in financial assets, mostly short-term liquid markets all around the world. It's estimated the shadow banking system has about $80 trillion of investable assets. I mean, that's bigger than the regulated commercial banking system. And more and more capital is flowing into the shadow banking system, and it is totally unregulated, pretty much. And, of course, shadow banks had a lot to do with the 2008-09 crash, and they'll probably have a lot to do with the next crash that will probably come before the end of this decade, because we're on the same trajectory that we were earlier in the last decade. The QE going on in Europe is also part of what I call devaluation by competitive monetary policy. In 2013, the Japanese had a huge QE, and it gave them a little bit of an export boost because when you pump that much money in the economy, it drops the value of your currency. And, of course, we have the same thing going on now with QE in Europe. And the whole idea behind the QE strategy, which I think is wrong, is that, pump money into the economy, drive down the euro, make European goods more competitive in terms of exports and have an export-driven recovery. But everybody can play that game. And, of course, the Japanese are playing it, and others will play it as well. And it gives you a short-term boost in your exports and a little bit of recovery, but that dissipates very quick. We see that in Japan. They're back in recession after about a year of this. So that whole strategy is absolutely a dead end, and it's not going to go anywhere in the UE. And within another year or 18 months, it's going to be stagnant growth or worse in the Eurozone once again. Monetary policy does not generate a recovery. It bails out the banks, but the banks have gotten so addicted, shadow and commercial banks, addicted to the free money and the investors, they don't want to stop it.
Okay, I'm sorry to jump in. I'm going to have to give 30 seconds to Brent Badowski. I'm sorry. Brent Badowski, so what do you think? The Eurozone on its way to a breakup, or is that just not realistic at this point?
Now, I don't think there'll be a breakdown right now, but I don't think there'll be a recovery that's very strong either right now. The Eurozone needs to unify behind policies that invest in creating jobs, creating work, helping the poor, creating demand in the economy by getting money not to the top, not to the bankers, but to the average people and the poor people and the working people who can live a better life and put that money directly into the economy. We need a new economics where quantitative easing helps everybody and not just a few, and where prosperity trickles up by giving money to the bottom and the middle to go upwards, not trickles down where it goes to the wealthy and the banks to go downwards, because history teaches us if you do it top down, the money never trickles down. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and you get speculation. So we need a new economics throughout Europe, and we need one in the United States too that helps people and the middle and the poor.
Very well, thank you very much for that. Let me thank our guest, Professor of Political Economy, Jack Rasmus, who spoke to us from San Francisco, and columnist at The Hill there, Brent Podolsky, was speaking from Washington. Thanks for so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For Mikhail Vitagvay and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.